Welcome to Module 4 of the Awaken Your Light online course. Today we are going to look at how to develop self-care and create a self-care practice. I have to say, this to me is one of the most important elements of life in general. For so long we, you know, are told that it is selfish of us to look after ourselves, and I think there is a lot more emphasis nowadays, which is brilliant, on, you know, looking after our emotions, looking after our mind, talking to people, and really like making sure that we're okay. But we do live in a world that's very pressurized. We live in a very fast paced world. When we look back at your roles from module one, the expectations on you, that all forms elements of stress and pressure. So if we go back to that vision of the sun again, you know, if you're looking at your self-care and how you really, really look after yourself, you probably see lots of black spots across that sun of what you're not doing for you. Self-care for me is something that I've learned is the biggest thing that's going to make your transformations happen. I've touched on it briefly through the modules before and told you that I would talk more about it today. But it's about the element of looking at yourself from a holistic point of view. And when I mean holistic, I mean all-rounded point of view, which moves into your career part, okay, your financial part, your social part, your health part, your environment, so where you're living, your relationships romantically with friends and family, your fun and recreation, okay, your personal development as well. And in your workbook, I've done out a little chart there, okay? And this chart is called the Wheel of Life, and the Wheel of Life looks a breakdown, and it's used in life coaching a lot, where it breaks down every aspect of your life, and it gets you to kind of grade where each part of your life is at this time, okay? And how you want to progress with your goals through that. So we're going to use it in a little bit of a different way today, and it's really to break down how much you're looking after yourself in each area. So a lot of times we can put the blame outside of ourselves for how things don't go, okay? So, and genuinely, like, you know, being realistic, things happen. Crap things happen to us that we don't deserve, you know, and people are can be difficult to deal with. If you're let go from your job, you didn't, you know, sign up to deal with that. You didn't say, I want to go into work today and lose my job. I want to be made redundant. Absolutely not. But what happens when different things happen to us, and if we use that example of maybe being made redundant, for example, it does obviously chip away at ourselves, and it chips away at our beliefs around ourselves, and it chips away at how we look after ourselves. So we might decide, well, I actually can take this redundancy as a positive of what I'm going to go and do next. But then we kind of procrastinate on things, we lose the self-belief, and that is a lack of self-care. One part as well that I think is very important is around finances as well, and how finances can be seen as self-care. So some people that might have difficulties with finance, or might even just be bad with spending, to have your finances in order is an element of self-care, because when your finances are not in order, it creates stress. When your career is not in order, it creates stress. When your social life is not in order, it creates stress. When you're not looking after yourself and your health, it creates stress. When you are not in an environment from where you're living that's healthy for you, that creates stress. If you are not having a good personal development energy towards yourself, so you're putting energy into your personal development, that will cause stagnancy and that will cause stress. If your relationships with family, with friends, with romance are not good or not there at all, that will cause stress. And every one of us, whether it's one part or in all eight parts, are going to have some difficulty in it. But then we look at, okay, so I'm in a world where I give to people. There's an expectation that I'm going to look after everybody else. And I feel guilty about not doing things for people. Or I feel selfish, which is what I hear a lot, okay? I'm selfish if I do that. Or, like, I had a client the other night say to me, I'm going to have a selfish 2016. And I said, change your language with that. Because selfish means that you are not being kind. Selfishness is not a nice streak to have, but selfishness is not looking after yourself. That is self-care. So you switch it. I'm going to have a year of self-care. If I have a friend that drains me and I continue to allow myself and take responsibility for myself and consciously choose to be in that person's company, okay? Now, being clear with this, we all have people that go through bad times. We have family members we need to support. We have these things that we need to do. Sometimes we need to spend time with a person that we don't want to spend time with because it's an element of support for them. But if these things keep happening over and over and over and over again, so much so that your health is being affected, your stress levels, your emotions are being affected, and also where your own emotional stuff isn't being helped or your own emotional needs aren't being met by other parts in your life, that is detrimental to you, so therefore that is not self-care. So if I am meeting for the 10th time in 1 week someone who is talking about themselves over and over and over again, and I feel drained by that, I am not looking after myself. On the 9th time that I met them, I thought, God, I'm going to faint here from the absolute exhaustion of listening to them. I should not have met them on the 10th time. Okay? So we need to get really clear on this self-care energy, because we are doing things to ourselves every day that is not looking after ourselves. I better continue to put up with that bullying work because I want to progress. And so it kind of is career suicide for me to say anything about it. Okay, saying anything about it to your boss mightn't get you anywhere. Maybe looking for a different job might get you somewhere. Or maybe trying to find some way of dealing with that person in a different way. If that doesn't work, well then, do you weigh up the options and say, it's better for me to stay in a job that, yeah, I'll progress in. I'm going to get bullied the whole way to the top and lose my confidence. It depends on what that feels to you. Does that feel okay or not okay? If it does not feel okay, it is not good. I was told in July 2015, when I was getting some work done on myself, that if I spent the next 3 months only doing things that felt comfortable to me. Now, I'm talking about panic on the other side. So for me, certain situations in my life were very stressful. And when I was in them, I got very anxious and very panicked. I felt very nervous in the situations and I didn't want to be around certain people or certain things. Okay? For me, I was not minding myself, because why would it be okay for me to feel like that in that situation every time? There's a difference between that and maybe having to sit with a relative that you don't want to sit with because maybe they're talking about the same thing for the 20th time, but they're very nice and they're very endearing and you're just there. Okay, you might be a bit bored, but you're giving the energy to it. That's different. That's not self-care. That's actually giving to somebody else. I'm giving. So the difference between giving and being selfish and giving to yourself, okay? So in the situations that we put ourselves in, when that person said to me, do that for the next 3 months, I kind of laughed because I was like, that's not going to be able to happen. But what I did was I took it step by step, and that's all I'm asking you to do, is to take this self-care process step by step, because it's going to be, you know, it's a learning curve for you, and it's going to be one that's going to be difficult, because it was definitely difficult for me when I tried to do it. So what I would start with is just, I refer back to what I talked about at the start. And I do hope, in just saying this, in this teaching, which is probably something I shouldn't say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I don't want you to think that the examples I'm giving to you is so that I can speak about myself, because I definitely don't need to do that or want to do that. I'm trying to make it relatable by giving very real examples here. You know, the examples might not, in some cases you might resonate with them, in some you mightn't, but it's to try and give you the order of how I structure things, okay? So that you can actually, on a practical level, start to do the same in your own life. So the next part that I'd like to look at then is that when I go back to level one, and people would say, oh, Caroline's such an angel and she does this and she does that. In that week that I actually went to that person and she said that to me, I actually ended up getting a really bad flu, okay? Really, really bad. Now, I'm going to give you an example with this flu thing as well. When I'm under pressure, when I feel like people aren't supporting me, okay, which I've only recently realized, I get sick. I get the flu. It gives me a reason to say, I can't do something. Sorry, I'm not available. I'm sick. Because one of the things for me when I was growing up was I had a difficult, when I say difficult upbringing, I'm sure people in my family wouldn't love to hear me say that, but it was difficult in the sense I was very well looked after and very loved, but there was a lot of stress that was imparted on my family that shouldn't have been there and wasn't chosen, okay? And it came from somebody else and there was a lot of difficulty that went on as a result of that, okay? And things were always very stressful and very chaotic and very pressurized in our household when I was growing up. And there wasn't really I suppose, the scope to complain or moan or give out about things. I just never did it because it was just the situation we were in, and the person that was minding me was doing their best and really doing an amazing job as well. But what happened was that when I get a cold or something, I'd get full attention, you know. So what I've realized actually over the last few years, we talk about belief, why do I keep getting sick? My thing of why do I keep getting sick is because I actually got attention. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I'm screaming and having a tantrum attention. It's just a bit of like nurturing, a bit of TLC from somebody else, okay? So in this week after this conversation, in this healing session I was having, I ended up getting the flu, okay? And I was really, really sick, but I had a friend's birthday to go to. Now, my friend would come out with pneumonia if she had to. She would be at whatever it is for you. So I was like, how can I say I have the flu when I can't go to this thing? And then I thought about it, and I really panicked about that for the week. I actually couldn't work. That's how sick I was. But I was like, at least if I'm not working, I can prepare myself to go out for this birthday thing on Saturday night. So let's go through that, okay? So I had the flu, which for me actually came up at a time that I was very stressed and I really wasn't being looked after by other people. I was giving a lot. So my body went into memory mode of, oh, if I get the flu now, I can actually stop and use that as an excuse. So my body got that. But then I was like, but I still need to push myself. So now I can't work, which doesn't make things good. I'm not earning anything financially. That doesn't make things good for me, okay? So now I'm sick, I'm not earning, I'm not working. Okay, so we have three things. But I better go to this night out on Saturday night. And something just hit me across the face and I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? You go out on Saturday night, you're more sick. You're more sick, you're out of work longer. You're out of work longer, you're not earning. You're not earning, you're going to feel bad about yourself. You're going to get stressed and you're going to continue to be sick. So I phoned my friend up and I talked to her and told her that I wasn't well. Now, do you think that she had a problem that I couldn't go out? She was like, oh my God, you poor thing, you sound horrendous. Please don't come down and give us all a cold as well. But in that moment of doing it, of kind of going, I'm just going to ring her and tell her I'm not going to go. And I know this might sound really trivial to somebody, but for me, this would be quite a big deal for me. I recognised I was looking after myself. I spent probably the next week in bed. I got better and on I went. But what I needed to learn there was that I needed better boundaries in place to not have people pulling out of me all of the time. I needed to look after my health better. You know, I needed to eat better so that my immune system didn't get the flu as well. Because again, I told you earlier on, I have an immune problem, okay? So the self-care, I needed to be well, actually. And I needed to be looking after myself. And I needed to have my emotional needs met so I could work. So I could not have to cancel clients. So I could create an income for myself, which I need, okay? So in that one instance of being sick, lots of different parts of my life were gone out of sync. But I got sick, and the real reason I believe I got sick was because I wasn't looking after myself from an emotional place before that happened. So what we're seeing here is, and this is why I wanted to do it from a holistic standpoint, every single factor in your life needs your self-care. And I've mentioned a few teachings that I've been kind of, you know, listening to and studying over the last kind of about 6 months, and I would ask you to actually you know, look at other things as well. Like, if you feel drawn to a particular book, or if you feel drawn to other teachings, or you feel drawn to do other stuff, absolutely, over this course, this period, you know, bring them on board as well, because everything helps. And you might get drawn to kind of say, actually, that fear stuff really stuck at me, so I'm going to do a bit more research on that. Do that, like, you know, bring as much information in as you can. But when I was listening to this girl that I listen to a lot, she talked about self-love, and she said it would be very interesting if every person on this planet for the next 365 days asked themselves every day, in whatever situation was coming up that was difficult, what would somebody who loved themselves do in this situation? If I loved myself, what would I do? Okay, so if I loved myself, would I eat bad? No. If I loved myself, would I not look after myself? No. If I loved myself, would I continue to have really bad boundaries with people? Absolutely not. If I loved myself, would I really care what anybody thought about me and get my confidence affected by people's thoughts of me? No. So this is what we're looking to do. So for the next month, okay, I really want you to take this part seriously, like you have with all the other modules. But this for me is the biggest thing. If you can look after yourself, stop calling it selfish. Make sure you're still being kind and compassionate and doing things for people on a balanced level. It's about balance. As I say all the time, if I create balance internally, I'll create it externally. Your life is a mirror. It's mirroring back to you exactly who you are, how you're being, how you're thinking, how you're feeling, what your beliefs are. It's like a mirror. Your work life, your romantic life, your weight, your physical body, your skin, your hair, it is a reflection of what is going on inside. Okay? So really take this seriously, and I mean this. We are in a world today that is busier than ever. The pressures that are on us are mounting. They're even more. Do this. Everything moves at such a fast pace. And we get lost in that. We get stuck in that. We take on other people's stuff. It's normal. And it's very difficult to awaken your light, as this course is called, when it's being dimmed by yourself in the first place, let alone, going out into the world and having all of the other stuff being thrown at you. Take control of what you can control. And what you control is how you mind yourself. And that is something you need to take extremely seriously if you want to progress, if you want to visualize. I go back to what we talked about in the previous module here, which was all about letting go and allowing more flow. How can you take inspired action, which is action that feels good to you, if you don't actually value yourself and care enough about yourself? You'll continue to take action that you should be doing, or other people tell you you'll be doing, but that doesn't feel good to you. So for the next 30 days, I want you to ask yourself every morning, okay, what would someone that loves themselves do today? And also, for the next 30 days, I want you to avoid things that make you feel uncomfortable. And that is not to cut people out and never see them again, or not engage with work or do anything. You have to live your life. This is what we're trying to do. Live your life and balance that, but by bringing in the other energy. Okay? So that's what we're trying to get you to do here. And I think that's what you're going to be able to do. And I will be honest with you. This is a learning experience for me. And really relaunching this course and re-recording everything again has been fantastic for me to be able to do it. So I will be working through this stuff as well over the next couple of months. So I really welcome your feedback on how you're finding it, and just see how you get on. Okay, I look forward to talking to you in module 5, and I hope you have a really great day. Thank you.